This is Mostly C's, the Mostly C's podcast, the podcast about the Celtics from Red to Russell, Brown to Bird, Parrish to Pierce, everything C's. Well, Mostly C's. The Mostly C's podcast is presented by JBL, the official sound of Jason Tatum, the Boston Celtics, and the NBA. Let's get to Rich Keefe and the Mostly C's podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Mostly C's podcast. My name is Rich Keefe, joined by co-host slash producer Jason Rossi. Jason, how are you?
I am... Actually, I'm not doing so well.
No? Why? What's the problem?
I'm bummed out about the Celtics.
You are bummed out. They should be in the NBA Finals.
They should. And I just want to start by saying it is so funny to go back. Celtics are up 2-0.
They sure were.
And we on Dale and Keith.
Yeah.
Great program, by the way.
I love that show.
I totally, you know, overdoes any
it's
other duo.
It's a really strong show.
Especially in the same time frame.
Yes.
But we were talking about the topics the next day were, who would you rather face, the Warriors or the Rockets?
Well, we got a little ahead of ourselves. That's fine. We have to be reactionary. We live day to day here.
I'm not judging you. Just saying that is like
that's
the mentality.
That's what we were thinking. They were up 2-0, then they were up 3-2, and they had a fourth quarter lead in game 7. And I know that's almost a week old. It still kind of stings. Now, I think they would have gotten smoked by the Warriors, although we're recording this on Friday, so we saw game 1 of the NBA Finals, which was insanely close. In fact, the Cavs should have won. We're going to get into that more on the radio show. This is mostly C's. We're going to try to do a lot of C's here today.
It could be strictly C's today.
It could be strictly C's. That's true.
That's going to be a whole other podcast. That, it's going to be my side.
Oh, God,
yeah. It's going to be my side podcast. That'll get taken off
family.
The air. But it'll get taken off the air.
Well, that's true. It'll get deleted like so many others.
Yes.
But as it relates to the Celtics, very, very frustrating. We said this on the radio show. How can you exceed expectations for a season yet also choke your final game? They did it. They had the formula to do it because they lose their two best players, one obviously very early in the season, one much later on, and yet still you're talking about a Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. But that Cleveland team is so flawed. And with home court advantage, it just really felt like the Celtics should have taken this opportunity and gone to the NBA Finals. It would have been a crazy story. Like, you just, nobody could have predicted it. Hell, I'm the idiot that said they were going to lose to the Bucks. Feels like they played the Bucks 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to lose that series.
In six,
they obviously
by the way,
did.
If people are keeping
Jason,
track.
That's not important.
We
at
said
all.
It on these podcasts. Yeah. Are these airwaves, technically?
Sure. Sure.
Internet so, waves?
And both of you that heard it said, Keefe's an idiot.
No, there was more people. Those were call to action podcasts. I know at least 7 people.
That's very nice. That's good.
The one where you said Sixers and 5, there was only a few. There was a couple Snow Leopards.
You had to bring that up.
Yeah, because you made, but podcast. Then we talked about it. What did you think of the Cavaliers? How are the Celtics going to fare? You picked the Cavaliers.
Well, I only did that for effect because I really wasn't.
You ended up being correct. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Fine. But again, it goes back to Game 7, just Terry Rozier shooting terribly, and Marcus Smart, and Marcus Morris, and Jaylen Brown. They were all so bad. You wanted more Jason Tatum. You wanted more Al Horford. You can't score 79 points at home in an elimination game. So that's on them. The Cavs also played poorly in that game. LeBron James was great, and Jeff Green, which is insane. But Jeff Green played pretty well, and that was it. That was the difference, and they move on.
Would you say he has the heart of a champion?
Oh, that's not very good.
That was Van Gundy, I believe.
Did Van Gundy
one of them
it?
Said it, and then like, oh, that's a, and they had to come back. After the break.
I didn't read that.
Yeah, it's just
it's fine.
His heart. That issue happened when he was in Oklahoma City, correct?
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That was early in his career. That was like second
probably.
Or third year.
Yeah. But oh, speaking of Van Gundy, so those guys bug me. I'm not a huge fan of Breen Van Gundy Jackson. I think Breen's fine.
Okay.
I think Breen and Doris Burke would be a better duo. Mark Jackson and Van Gundy get too into each other's crap, and it's one thing if it's a 20-point game and you want to get a little slappy. Like, I'm fine with that. I get goofy. I'm sure if I was doing play-by-play or color, I'd go down the road of, like, what are these guys talking about? But it's a tie game in the NBA Finals in the third quarter, and Jeff Van Gundy was saying, hey, Mark Jackson couldn't hit a softball off of LeBron's wife. I was like, what the hell are we talking about? Did you care about it? He's like, yeah, you said you could go 1-for-10 against a major league pitcher, and some jackwagon for the Pirates said you couldn't do it. I'm like, what is happening? Like, this is a really good game. Like, I know you guys probably thought it was going to be a blowout, but this is an incredible game. And, like, LeBron hit a shot. He was so on fire. And again, I said it was going to be mostly C's, but now I'm going along an NBA Finals tangent. But he was on fire.
Tangent.
He pulled up from like 5 feet behind the arc and drilled to three, and they're still talking about softball. And Mike Breen's like, LeBron! And those guys are like, yeah, I don't know, Jeff. She's got a sinker ball. I'm like, what are we doing? That drove me nuts. I don't think they're very good at all.
Yeah, I have two thoughts on that. One is I think everybody hates anything, especially then like the national stage.
I kind of hate a lot of stuff, and I don't know if it's healthy or if it's
it's probably healthy for what you. I think it's healthy for what you do to it for a day to day basis.
That's probably true.
But I just like I
overall
see this all.
Life.
Not
great.
Not much. Right. But I do think it's like that is what you'll see every day on social media, whether it's Monday Night Football broadcast, whether it is an NBA
you're
Finals
not
broadcast.
Tweet, like I love these guys.
Yeah, it's just
like you're going to go the other way.
Now this example you give, and I didn't hear it. I went back to here because I saw your tweet.
I can't believe it.
I was watching Westworld actually for a portion of the game
during the NBA Finals. You're watching Westworld.
Yeah, I had to catch
you
up.
Host a Celtics podcast.
Mostly. Celtics
the podcast. Other part of and it is Westworld.
Well, yeah. That, we'll
I'm not caught up on Westworld. I'm kind of losing interest in it.
First episode, snoozer.
Oh,
I was having real trouble.
What episode are you up to?
I was starting.
Oh.
So me and my wife, we watched it with some friends.
Because there's six episodes. I think I've seen five. The first one, was an absolute snoozer.
It's
the
like
second one, the second one forces you to watch the other ones, but then you're like, these ones, I don't know.
I'm going to also give you the theory of that people always say you don't have to watch an NBA game till the end. So I missed middle of the third till the end of the fourth, and I kept the update on my phone. I saw people tweeting.
Okay.
I follow you.
Did you see the JaVale McGee miss dunk?
Yes, I did, which was awesome. But
classic.
But
JaVale
the thing
McGee.
Is, I miss it up until 2 minutes left in the game, and I feel like I didn't miss anything.
No,
I know
I mean,
missed a lot.
Right.
That's a stupid thing to say.
But the Cavs had like a big lead for a little bit. I was like, this is insane. I couldn't believe it was going on, and they had a good graphic at one point. LeBron had like 20 points and the rest of his team had 24, and you might think, well, that's actually a good balance, but like the way things have gone, like that is really impressive that the teammates actually outscored him for a while,
first time.
And LeBron goes for over 50 in the game, needed overtime to do it, but still got over 50 points.
49.
He had 49, then what, he had a couple free throws or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything.
No, it was all Warriors in the overtime.
So it was Klay Thompson at that three. It was just over.
Yeah.
5-point lead.
Oh yeah, I mean those guys can get a big lead in a hurry, but the J.R. Smith stuff is awesome. Like, the J.R. Smith stuff is so good. There's no way he knew what the score was.
Oh.
He claims that he did after the game.
And he claims he knew that they were looking for a timeout.
You,
but you didn't call the
you're
timeout.
You're allowed to call
you
a timeout.
You have the ball.
You can call a timeout. So J.R. Smith, first of all, he gets the ball in a position where he could have gone up and scored. He said in the post game, Kevin Durant was going to block his shot. Wrong. If you watch that play as many times as I did, you could see that Kevin Durant, his momentum, like the way the ball kind of ricocheted into Smith's hands, Durant was actually turned completely the other way.
Oh, it was
so
an easy
Smith
back.
Could have had a layup, a righty layup right in there. Everybody listening to this could have done what J.R. Smith did or should have done. And the way he ran it out, if you've ever watched a basketball game before, in the closing seconds when you're winning and you don't even want to go to the free throw line, you just kind of run away like that. He ran away so fast, got away from the bucket, went like 20 feet away from the basket from where he was originally, and sprinted out with not even looking at the basket.
That's the biggest issue. He didn't get out of there like with his back, like looking at the basket, like his body facing the basket.
Like looking for a good shot.
He goes
nothing.
To like that half court, you know, what do you want to call
the
it?
The coach's...
I call that the triangle. I just make that up. We'll call it the right angle that they have
it's
over
like,
there.
The coaches technically have like a little box. There's like a little line there.
And
so
he's
sprints over
there.
There.
And then LeBron's looking at him like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
And then he, like, it clicks. It's like maybe
he passes
a second
it to somebody
left.
Else.
I don't even know who took that shot. And I felt bad for them more than
was
anybody.
Was it Hill? The guy who missed the free throw who no Hill. One's talking about? It may have been Hill at the end, but it didn't even matter. Nobody's talking about it. But it was just so dumb.
He's really to blame, by the way.
J.R. Smith.
No.
Oh, Hill.
Hit the free throw.
He'll miss the free throw, but still, J.R. Smith.
No,
it's J.R. Smith.
It's not, because if you hit the free throw, this doesn't happen.
But missing a free throw is a physical mistake. Missing a free throw,
so,
the guy's 80%, so 20% of his free throws, he's going to miss.
Okay,
that's just what it is.
Yeah, but this is
that's
the,
bad.
This
it's
is
bad.
The championship.
No, I know, but
he can't be looking at it and be like, oh, well, you know, he's going to miss.
J.R. Smith didn't know the score.
I'm not
that
not blaming
so
J.R. Smith,
worse.
But J.R. Smith shouldn't have been put in that position.
J.R. Smith is a basketball player. He should know the score. What do you mean? He shouldn't be in the game?
No,
maybe
I'm
you're right. Maybe he shouldn't
you
be in the game.
You hit the free throw, Golden State loses the game.
Well, no,
there
was 4.7
seconds,
I know,
and they had a timeout, but actually, who are we kidding? Curry hits
Curry,
like one of those.
Right, exactly. They had 4.7 seconds. But
Hill hits that. None of this happens. We're not even talking about it.
I know,
which
but
I'm happy he missed.
He missed, because it's amazing. And then the LeBron, the meme that's going around right now is hysterical. And so LeBron walked off in the post-game press conference.
Yeah.
He walked off.
I know. I'm so tired. And I want to get back to the Celtics with him because, you know, I know you hate LeBron, and I try to look at things evenly. Obviously, LeBron if he keeps this up, this whole series, even if they get swept, even if they lose, it's going to be hard for people to argue this whole greatest. I'm not saying he's the greatest player of all time, but he is by far surpassing every player aside from Michael Jordan.
It seems like it.
Because he's scoring 49 points and keeping his team that everyone's saying they're the biggest underdogs of all time. If you have one of the best players, like the Patriots ever being an underdog, like dramatically, which is not going to be the case with Tom
Brady. Since like Brady became Brady. Yeah. They were obviously big underdogs in the first Super Bowl they won, but that was way
But like, look at LeBron the last. Let's go with 8 years. You can't call that team a dramatic underdog. I don't care if it's LeBron going out there with me and you.
It's sometimes nights it looks like he is.
It sure does.
Essentially. But yeah, I mean, LeBron, obviously, he goes for 51-8-8, and then his team lets him down. And again, this is going to be another built-in excuse because when he leaves to go somewhere else, people are going to cut him some slack. They're going to say, hey, remember with J.R. Smith? He was playing with J.R. Smith. But guess who wanted J.R. Smith? Guess who wanted player like that? Yeah, LeBron James.
GM LeBron.
GM LeBron got him in there. So that is absolutely on him. But just such a, like, that was their opportunity. Everybody predicted like a sweep or said, hey, maybe five games. If the Cavs won that game, it would have been huge for the NBA because now all of a sudden there's more intrigue. Like, well, could they pull this off? Like, it's an underdog story, even though it's the best player. And that doesn't happen. And now you got to assume the sweep's back on.
I want to jump back to the Celtics.
Please. Series. It's mostly
Celtics. It's a little bit LeBron, though.
Yeah. Okay.
LeBron, after the after game seven, you know the soldier.
Yeah.
He me,
warrior.
My
eye. Yeah.
I do want everyone to have a drinking game. This is going to be my part of the mostly.
Okay.
So we're going to start a mostly sees drinking game the rest of the way.
Oh, I love
the NBA
this.
Finals.
Yeah.
Every
what's your beverage of choice?
You pick.
Anything
I'm
you
a
want.
Mix. I'm a mixed drink guy.
I
don't
that.
Like beer.
That's fine.
Even though I've heard there's 10 really good ones on a different podcast.
There's a really actually that those are breweries. If you go to
brewery,
the hashtag Dork Podcast right now, available in the archives, Jason. Best New England beers.
Ooh,
I would recommend that. But I am also a mixed drink guy. I'm just a drink guy in general. But
I
continue.
Like a Long Island.
I love a Long Island.
You and 21-year-old girls, but it is
it's not a girl drink. There's like five shots of alcohol
that,
in there.
But I guess the way it looks, it's like a 21-year-old drink because you grab it, it gets you drunk the fastest.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Not disagreeing with
when
you.
When I was 21, I had two of those, and there's a night.
There it goes.
There's a time.
Forget about it. See you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But anytime LeBron in a post game, or you know, if there's ever a time
like
before the
walk-off interview with Doris,
anything,
or yeah,
me, my eye.
Specifically, if they win.
I've seen it in losses against the Celtics. He will say, I wasn't good enough. Okay, we'll take that. He never says the word we until the son of a bitch. I was making this point to everybody I was watching game seven with. I was over my brother-in-laws, my sister, and people. I was like, listen to him. He's going to throw. He's going to be all about himself. And he did this whole thing when he got up. He was on the ground. I don't know if you watched the whole post game. At the Garden. He was
game seven post game?
Yes.
No, I couldn't handle
it. Okay, so he's on the ground, laying down there, showing the trophy.
He's so tired.
And,
yeah, he put
you
the
know,
whole
Ty
game.
Lue,
what a
and they're
warrior.
Showing J.R. Smith.
True
they're
hero.
All these guys. They're all talking. They go, where's LeBron? Where's LeBron? No, that's and he's laying on the ground.
I was out by
and
that
they
point.
Show him. He
I
gets
do
up.
It.
He gets up. Needs two people to pick him up. And he comes over and he's like, I just got to say, it's all about this team. It isn't about me. And I was like, no, you son of a bitch. You have the whole time have made it all about him. If you heard him with Doris before this, he was saying, me, my, I, all that. And I would be drinking left and right.
Yeah,
so I'm saying for everybody watching the NBA Finals, anyone curious, even if you don't like the NBA Finals, just watch the post game. Or eventually if he talks, aside from last night,
he
will say,
true.
Me,
last night he just
my,
walks out.
I. At least 4 to 5 times.
And if he just gets up and walks out mid-question, you got to finish your drink.
Maybe, and if you're with somebody, finish their drink too.
that's
you listened.
Yes. So I think they have three more games left. I think he has three more games left with the Cavs, and I think he's gone.
I will say this, and I think we have to circle back to Celtics, and I think we'll get to this topic.
Yes.
But if he leaves Cleveland now, as bad as it is, he got him to a final every year he was there. They can hate him.
And 2.0.
Cleveland
2.0. Cleveland
2.0 was much better.
Four straight finals.
Yeah, and he had them believing in championships every single season. They may have hated him before this because the whole Kyrie leaving thing.
Yeah.
But he got him to the finals.
Yeah, he left.
Kyrie had a
they bottomed out. They were able to get the number one pick 3 times in a 4-year span.
Yeah.
You think there's something up with that? Because I do.
Yeah, of course there is.
Okay, good. Because you're a big conspiracy guy.
I'm not a conspiracy guy.
You got reptilians. That is conspiracy.
I guess. I don't know. I think it puts a lot of pressure on somebody
conspiracy
when you say conspiracy
theories.
Yes.
Is a term. And so you're dumping
it.
The conspiracy and you're just saying theories. It's really the same thing. You believe in reptile people ruling the world.
I think
world.
There's a potential that is true. So I don't officially believe it. I'm not walking
so
around.
So it's not that outside the box to think that the NBA draft lottery was rigged for Cleveland.
Oh, it was.
Okay.
they wanted LeBron to be there.
Well, and they also and felt bad for them because they turned Cleveland into a thing with LeBron. Then he leaves and forms a super team, and they probably then got Dan positive, Gilbert loses his mind.
Yeah, and they probably had positive PR results as a franchise. So, like, we need this franchise to stay relevant.
Right.
And so Kyrie Irving, or was it Andrew Bennett?
No, it was Kyrie Irving. Then it was a year off, and then it was Anthony Bennett.
Anthony
and then it was Andrew Wiggins.
Thank you. I don't know how.
And then obviously they
I
were
put those two together, and neither one of them on the team anyways.
But I think he's gone. Celtics offseason, though, circling back to
them. Before we get to this offseason, what are your honest opinions of Game 7? Where are you pointing fingers? Aside, obviously, Jaylen Brown. You mentioned Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, who both had outstanding Game 6s that should have closed out this series.
Yeah, true.
Back in Game 7, they both S their pants.
I would say most of the blame. It's one of those things where you'd be stupid to blame one specific person. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's not fair.
Stupid.
You have one person in mind?
I blame Brad Stevens.
Ooh, I like that.
I think that was the worst performance we've seen from Brad Stevens in his clutch.
Yeah, where were the adjustments?
There were no adjustments. Timeouts weren't as timely as they've been throughout this whole postseason. You go back to your famous Bucks series that felt like it was 6 years ago.
That was a long time ago. Sidney Moncrief.
He was outstanding with timeouts in a situational basketball.
And like lineups and everything about it.
And he noticed when to pull a guy out of a game when he was just ice cold. Like Jaylen Brown had a great series.
Yeah, like Rozier needed to cool it. Oh. Like he just needed to absolutely cool it. The only thing I go back to is this is what got you there. Like everybody had the green light. You were like, fire when ready. Like, go ahead. Like Marcus Morris, threes in transition. He's living with it. Marcus Smart pulling up for three. Like, they're living with it. Like
Aaron Baines shooting threes.
Aaron Baines all of a sudden. So they only played seven players in Game 7. All seven of them, just based on watching them, Brad Stevens is okay with them shooting threes whenever they want. So do you all of a sudden, third quarter of a Game 7, say, hey, guys, you know what we were doing for the last 99 games? Let's not do that anymore. So I'm with you. I think Brad Stevens deserves some of the blame. I just think it's tough to tell your team mid-game, we're not doing what we did before. And also, you can look at it two ways. When a guy is 0 for 8 from 3, as a fan, I'm saying, don't shoot. Like, stop shooting. But then as a player or even as a coach, you say, he's not going to go 0 for 9, is he? He's not going to go 0 for 10, is he? Like, James Harden went 0 for like a zillion for a stretch, 0 for 21, but you're never going to tell James Harden to stop shooting. And by God, I'm not saying Terry Rozier or even Jaylen Brown is James Harden.
But if you compare the two with the teams and the situation.
Yeah, the whole idea of them having to take shots and everything else. So those guys let you down, though. The starting backcourt is all the guards. Throw Smart in there with Brown and with Rozier, and also a bad Marcus Morris game.
And as great as Tatum was, especially second half, his first half was brutal. He looked like someone lost.
Right away, he started good. And that's why you're like, okay, good. He's not worried about Game 7 because he was knocking down jumpers early. And then there's a stretch where
that whole second quarter, he was dribbled off his knee once. He was all over
but
the place.
But he had the dunk on LeBron and the three.
Thank you for that.
And you're thinking, here you go. Like, they're going to win this game. It's ugly. Like, both teams played bad. It was an ugly, ugly game. It was just gross. Hopefully it took the under because it was just the Celtics scored 30 points in the second and third quarter combined. How do you expect to win a game there?
Yeah.
I think it was like 13 and 17 or whatever in the two quarters. Like, that's brutal.
Yeah.
So just a really frustrating way. Like, they should have been in the NBA Finals. You hope it's not just a missed opportunity when you're looking back on this team and saying, man, you know, we thought they were going to make like five trips to the finals and they only made two. Like, this could have been one of them right here. And again, not that they would have been the favorite. In fact, they would have been a huge underdog, probably similar underdog to Cleveland.
Do you think, would you care if they got swept?
No. I want them to make it back. At this point, no. God, no.
And just about experience. I just think it is as a fan and as a city and as this team, knowing you're without your two best quote unquote players, you want just to get to that point.
I think
you especially up 2-0. Yeah.
I think the next steps that you take is really important. Like, them making the playoffs the second year under Brad Stevens was a big step forward for the players. And I know most of those guys are gone, but also him. And so now he has playoff experience. Then the next year, you don't advance out of the first round, but you win a couple games and you're competitive. Then the year after that, you're making it to the conference finals. So now if you make it to the finals, that's a whole different thing for him next year.
And with that, with Brad Stevens, every year, not only has the win total gone up in the regular season, your playoff total wins have gone
up every year.
You've gotten further along. Like I said, when they were up 2-0, Brad Stevens has already accomplished.
Already got more wins,
So it's – but you just – when you're up 2-0, then you're up 3-2 –
and you think about it, LeBron James, Stevens, because again, LeBron's been in the East, you know, the whole time, well, his whole career. But obviously, Brad Stevens has faced him three times in the playoffs. You know, he gets swept out by him, but his team was terrible. But he gets
Kelly
swept
Olenek
out.
Put the greatest armbar on.
They did the best they could there. Yeah. They tried to even the odds
a little
bit.
Keep Love in the game. When Love leaves a game or it's leaves weird. A series, LeBron turns on even more.
It's weird. He wasn't bad low in game one of the NBA Finals after coming back from
the concussion. Kevin Love?
No, yeah. But you're right. Against the Celtics, you're
it makes
right.
no sense. Six and seven, you lose your second best player, and the team around him
it
picks up
make
their
sense.
Game.
So they get swept. Then they win a game, surprisingly, last year. But so now you're
after IT goes out too. I mean, no sense.
I don't
Marcus
get it.
Smart.
So you're 1-8 against LeBron in the playoffs going into this year, and then you go to a game seven. And so this was obviously, it still was Stevens' best team, even with the injuries. I feel like it was still his best team. I think this team still would beat last year's team head to head, even without Kyrie, certainly with him. And then this is without question LeBron's worst team over the last 8 years.
It goes back to the Antoine Jameson years.
His 07 team, where I believe the starting lineup was Sasha Pavlovich, Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I believe that was the starting lineup in 07.
I have a laptop for this. Well, iPad.
Does it work better than the call screener down at Fenway?
No one's going to get that, all right? No one's
it's a little inside.
It.
No, there should be some overlap audience.
No,
there's some people
audience.
That listen to Dale.
It's the Keefe audience.
It's a small audience, but they're very passionate.
Yeah, that was the starting.
That was the starting lineup?
Sasha
Pavlovich. Larry Hughes, LeBron James. What a
Dwayne
weird
Dwayne Jones, Damon Jones. What
yeah, Damon Jones off the bench. They have Booby Gibson. Booby Gibson.
Yep. Is that Daniel Gibson?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Daniel Gibson. Yeah. That's Booby.
Well, I wish that, you know,
he burned hot for a little while in the NBA. And wasn't he married to, like, Kesha Cole or somebody like that? Keisha Cole?
Yes.
Is that who it was? Yeah.
These things come back to me.
But anyway, that's a bad team. The 07 Cavs might be the worst team to be in the NBA Finals. The 09 Magic were not a very good.
That might be.
That's a bad team, too.
Because that doesn't even have – that has, like, no chance of, like, a Hall of Famer type team.
Dwight Howard will be in the Hall of Fame.
I just keep forgetting.
It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame, you got to remember. Like, it should be –
Tracy McGrady is a Hall of Famer.
T-Mac was good.
I'm not saying he was not good. But
here's my one T-Mac story.
Okay.
You're saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm saying
it. We got my point.
So T-Mac, at the end of his career, was on, like, the Hawks or something. And the handful of years I was getting sound for the Celtics, I would always go to the visiting locker room when they would open the locker room, and I'd try to interview a player. Just do, like, a quick little, like, five questions with, like, whoever. And so I see T-Mac sitting in the locker room. So I go up to T-Mac. I'm like, hey, Tracy, like, do you have a few minutes to answer questions? He's like, nah, man. Like, I let the young guys do all the interviews. And I was like, okay. I'm like, well, I just wanted to say I really enjoyed watching your career. He goes, oh, man, that's what's up. And he was like, he thought I was going to, like, criticize him for, like, not playing or something. But he was, like, not having it at first. And then he was, like, all about it. Yeah, he'd give me that. He was like, oh, yeah, that's what's up. But I like Tracy McGrady. Led the league in scoring a couple times.
Yeah,
he's
twice.
A nice player. Twice.
And he was a, what, one-time all-second team?
That's it? No, more than that. Way more than that. Look up Tracy McGrady on your little iPad.
I bet he was
all NBA four or five times. I could be way off
with
on that.
First team?
No. There's
just
three
one
teams.
Of the three.
Just all NBA.
That's a whole other thing.
What do you mean? That's still pretty
teams?
Good.
No. I'm not saying
they only take it's by position. So that means he was one of because he was a
all right,
swing
here we
guy.
Go.
He was guard
he's
and
two,
forward.
Two more time All Star than Al Horford.
He's a seven time All Star,
which I think that means makes no sense. Doesn't matter to me. All
T-Mac?
No, just All Stars. It's the same thing. Like, it's half a season.
Oh, I'm with you. All Stars, and it's like the fan vote too throws it off. All NBA is where it's
two time All NBA first team. I'm going to eat a lot of words here. Three time All NBA second team. Two time All NBA third team.
Wait a minute.
Two time scoring champ, which I was correct. NBA most improved player.
So he was All NBA seven times. Holy smokes. So shut your mouth about him not being a Hall of Famer. Seven times he was all NBA. So twice he was one of the five best players in the league.
And he wore the cool Raptors jersey.
He was the man.
Yeah. All right.
He just wasn't really like a winner. Like, is that your point? You like Robert Horry more than him?
I do. I'm a big fan of the winners. I'm a Tim Tebow guy. All right. The guy just wins.
I love Tracy McGrady. He's even better than I thought.
He was.
Seven time all NBA.
I just think NBA.
What a badass.
The Hall of Fame. I just.
Celtics like, going to have
Yao
him.
Is Yao Ming really
twice,
a Hall of
right?
Famer? Or is this a lure
so,
Hall of Fame?
Do you like the Rich Keefe Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame?
The Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They all are. Everybody's
How
in the Basketball
Yao Ming
Hall of Fame.
How did play?
He was dominant. And what he meant to the to the world.
Dominant?
He was. He had a good year. He had some good years.
Yeah. Did you look back? When what? Like, he doesn't stand
he
out.
He and T-Mac together.
I know that. I think they made it to the playoffs twice.
Maybe they got a conference semifinal in there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The point is, like, when I look at it, like, when you look at, like, a generation of time, does Yao Ming stand out?
Yeah, he's super tall. He stands out amongst a lot of people. There we go. He's like 7'6", I think.
Yeah, he was.
Of course stands out. If you saw him in a crowd, you don't think Yao Ming would stand out?
It's not like a video game. It's one was looking. I don't think he stood out in the NBA.
He's a nice player. Why don't you look up his stats? See his All-NBA.
We'll save that for the
next
one.
Your iPad doesn't work? All right, that's it for us?
Yeah, I shut it down. I shut it down.
That was mostly C's.
Yeah, we really turned. I had this whole plan of saying mostly, strictly C's.
And so what's the deal here? We're recording this before the show, and so we're going to be interviewing Danny Ainge. So that interview is probably already done. By the time you're listening to this, so look on the Dale and Keefe page. We are scheduled to talk with Danny Ainge today, so it should be a good interview. See what he's got cooking here for the offseason, so I'm looking forward to that. Rossi, you have a wrestling podcast on the way at some point. Is that true?
Just go to your podcast.
You know, Rossi on Wrestling?
Keep the
eyes peeled for that?
Please do.
I'll keep the eyes peeled. You can follow the Dork Podcast. That's my other podcast. It's hashtag Dork on iTunes and on WEEI.com at Dork Podcast on Twitter. That's TV, movies, video games, comic books, all of that stuff. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mostly C's. Subscribe on the iTunes. We do it kind of sporadically.
There's going to be more.
That's what Rossi thinks.
Here's why it'll be more, I think. And I think
I don't know, man.
You're really ending this on a negative.
No, I'm not.
But my point of
There's not really a thirst for it.
Oh.
But go ahead, continue.
The reason I think there may be, I'm not saying it's going to happen every week, but I think
we won't
talk as much about it on the air.
That's true.
That you may actually be like, hey, I have a thought about something. I'm going to park this, and I'm going to tell, you're going to come to me, and you're going to say, hey, I want to throw some out there to the masses.
Maybe a big draft show. I love the draft.
We'll definitely do
some draft stuff.
Maybe we could talk a little Uncle
Yao
Drew.
Yao Ming Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we can get to the
Uncle Drew review.
Yes.
We could also simulcast that on hashtag door.
That'd be a real
joint venture.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, that's going to do it. Thanks so much. Have a nice, wherever you're doing this, have a rest of your day or your night. Thank you.
I'm going to end it with a better. That was really bad. You have a fantastic day. It's going to be the best day ever.
That's how it's a natural ending. You can tell it's not scripted.